Chapter 1. Who appointed you my guardian angel? Lucy Sheridan asked. She was pissed. Really, really pissed. But she was also thrilled. She was alone with Mason Fletcher, driving down a narrow moonlit road. It should have been the most romantic night of her life, the stuff teen dreams were made of. But Mason had ruined everything by treating her like a kid who didn't know enough to come in out of the rain. She slouched deep into the passenger side of the truck, one sneaker-clad foot braced against the dashboard, arms folded tightly around her middle. "I'm not anyone's guardian angel," Mason said. He did not take his attention off the road. "I'm doing you a favor tonight." "Whether I like it or not, I'm supposed to be grateful." "Brinker's little party is not going to end well. There's booze and drugs and a lot of underage kids. You don't want to be there when the cops break it up." Mason's calm, ice-cold certainty was infuriating. You'd never know that he was 19, just 3 years older than her, she thought. The realities of teenage life made that an unbridgeable gap, of course. To him, she was what Aunt Sarah would call jailbait. But it was worse than that. Mason was not just 19. He was 19 going on 30. Aunt Sarah said that he had the eyes of an old soul. True, Sarah often described people in weird ways. She and her business partner, Mary, were heavily into the whole meditation, enlightenment, be-in-the-moment thing. But Lucy had to admit there was something to what Sarah said about Mason. He was already a man, in ways she doubted any of the boys at the party tonight would ever be. He made them all look like they were still in middle school. She was starting to think that Mason was more of a grown-up than any of the actual adults she knew, including her parents. When they had split up 3 years earlier, everyone congratulated them on a civilized divorce. But none of their acquaintances had been in her shoes, she thought. None of them had been a 13-year-old kid hiding out in her room while two so-called adults fought using verbal grenades filled with accusations and the kind of sarcasm that sliced to the bone. If the divorce that followed was supposed to be an example of civilized behavior, the word civilized needed a new definition. Mason, on the other hand, always seemed like a real adult. To a fault, maybe. He and his uncle and younger brother had moved to Summer River 2 years ago. Mason was working full-time at the local hardware store and fixing up an old house on the side. This summer, he was single-handedly raising his younger brother because his uncle was off fighting a war somewhere. One thing was blazingly clear. Mason took life very seriously. Lucy wondered what, if anything, he did for fun, assuming he actually got the concept. He even drove like a grown-up, she thought morosely, or at least like a grown-up was supposed to drive. The way he handled his uncle's aging pickup truck said it all. He shifted gears with a smooth, competent hand. There were no bursts of acceleration on the straightaways, no heading into the curves a little too fast, and definitely no speeding. It should have been boring, but it wasn't. It just made her feel like she was in good, steady hands. "I didn't need you to rescue me," she said. "I can take care of myself." Great, now she really sounded like a kid. "You were out of your league tonight," he said. "Give me a break. I was okay. Even if the cops do show up out there at the old Harper Ranch, we both know that no one's going to get arrested. Chief Hobbs isn't about to throw kids like Tristan Brinker and Quinn Colfax in jail. I heard Aunt Sarah say that the chief wouldn't dare do anything that might get their fathers mad." "Yeah. My uncle says Brinker and Colfax have the chief and the whole damn city council in their pockets. But that doesn't mean Hobbs won't snag a few of the other kids tonight, just to show that he's doing his job." "So what? He'll give them a warning, that's all. The worst case scenario is that Hobbs would have called my aunt to come get me and take